for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, July the 5th, 2005. 4th of July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister of this service.
Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, come, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we bless you. We ask release of your spirit, Lord. To release your spirit of wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that our understanding will be opened, Lord. And we'll behold you in your glory. And that which you have for us, Lord. What the hope of our calling is. And the greatness of the power that you've endued us with, Lord. That we can go forth and glorify you, Lord. In obedience to your spirit. Lord, touch us this day. And deliver us and touch us from anything that stands between us and you, Lord God. Just touch us. Heal us, Lord God. Heal us, Lord. For your glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, I just loose the war angels to come forth now, to walk through this place, Lord, to guard it, gather up any loose demons and haul them off to the pit. I ask you, Lord, to loose the ministering spirits now to minister to your people, Lord, as you loose the angels to minister to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that you'll loosen your ministering spirits now just to minister to your people, Lord. And open our ears and our eyes as we look at your word, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about the results of pride. One of the results of pride. Pride is an Amorite spirit. The word Amorite means proud or lifted up. And the Bible says in Ezekiel that your nativity was from Cana, the land of Cana, that your mother was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Canaanite means rejected and despised. That's your birthright from Adam. You rejected, Adam rejected the word of God, and so your birthright from Adam is rejection. And it says that out of this flow, fear, the Hittite spirit of fear, and the Amorite spirit of pride. Now, Amorite, proud, arrogant, lifted up. And let's look at Nehemiah 9:16, and we'll see the results of pride. Nehemiah 9:16 says, "But they, our fathers," here Nehemiah is praying to God for repentance, and he's confessing the sins of the fathers, and he says, "They and our fathers acted proudly. They hardened their neck and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey." Refused to obey means rebellion. "And were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. They hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage." And so here we find pride giving you a hardened neck, which is stubbornness, and rebellion. Now, Proverbs says that a proud and haughty man, scorner or scoffer, is his name. And if you look up scoffer or scorner, depending on which translation you use, you'll find he is stubborn, unteachable, rebellious, tail-bearing, and stirs up trouble. If you look at the word, you look up the word rebellion there, and you find it is a word M-A-R-A-H. That the words rebellion all come from Strong's number 4784, which is Mara. And if you look it up in Strong's, it says the primary root, to cause or make to be bitter or unpleasant, to rebel, to resist, to cause, to provoke, bitter, and is translated bitter, change, to be disobedient, to disobey, to be grievous, to provoke, provocation, provoking, rebellious, rebel, and rebellious. You look at all the shades of that meaning, and you realize that bitterness and rebellion come from the same word in Hebrew. It says you can't be bitter. If you stay bitter, you'll rebel. And if you stay rebellious, you'll become bitter. They intertwine together. They bear somewhat different fruit. And so we look at them separately because the fruit is somewhat different. I'm not looking at rebellion tonight. Rebellion takes 2 hours to go through. But that's just to touch over the top of it. Bitterness, become bitter. It affects your physical body. It grows down into you and defiles you. Hebrews 13 speaks of a bitter root. Lest a bitter root grow up and defile you. Now, Dr. Derek Prince says that bitter root is a person in the church body that becomes bitter and a talebearer and a gossip. And that is one of the side effects of it. But it's more than that. Y'all have all met bitter people. People who are just bitter. Just angry, bitter, unpleasant people. And they seem, and some of them are just a little bitter. And they seem real nice until you hit that thing they're bitter about. And man, you get a bitter taste just listening to them. Yeah. And out it comes. I once had a friend, a man that I knew very well. And I worked with his wife, and she's a very nice lady. And we worked on a number of civic problems projects together. And I was public health officer. And one of the things that I was responsible for, I was the chief dog catcher. I had the animal control. And I had a number of people who chased dogs. And we chased horses and cows sometimes and ostriches and all sorts of things. But it was an interesting job. But the dog catching job, you want to get somebody mad, you mess with their dog. Folks get attached to their dog, man. So we had the dog catching ordinance we had to go through. And we were the mayor select committee for the dog ordinance. And since I was health officer, I was on the committee and along with other people in the Humane Society and the police department and a number of other people, and we all decided that we would allow a majority rule. There would be no minority report. The report we issued would be the result of majority vote. That was agreed before we started. And we went through it, and we got gathered up, and we agreed on everything, but it came down to how often the dogs ought to be vaccinated. And we had a veterinarian on there who felt that they ought to require them to come in once a year because then the dogs could be checked for worms and for heartworms and things. They should come in. And this was a way to get them in to get a general checkup. Well, the vaccine was licensed for 3 years. I held out for 3 years because that's what CD said. The vaccine was good for 3 years. But the vets were able to convince the other people that it was a good idea. And so they had to be licensed for 1 year. And we issued this report. My friend called me, and man, I could hear him talking all the way out from him. His wife was on the committee. And I said, well, we agreed that there'd be no minority report, and he just on and on and on, he slammed the phone down in my ear. And that night, God convicted me, that it really ought to be 3 years. And the city commission was really in a quandary because all the veterinarians were coming up and saying it ought to be a year. Because the titer started down and so forth. And then all these other people were accusing the veterinarians of just trying to make money off the people. And the city commissioners, two of them, came to me and said, what in the Sam Hill should we do, Billy? Bill, what should we do? And I said, compromise it 2 years. The veterinarians will accept 2 years because the titers really fall after 2 years. I said, personally, I'd prefer 3 years because that's what the vaccine says. And so we compromised it 2 years, and everybody was happy but my friend. And, you know, he had a heart attack. And I went beside his bed, and I prayed for him, and God healed him. He got bad arthritis in his hands, and he had to have all these joints replaced. And then we prayed for that. Then his knees went bad. Then his hips went bad. And I prayed with him through all these surgeries. And the last was having his last hip replaced. I mean, his last knee replaced. And he was in the hospital bed. And I was praying for him, asking God to heal him. He was grossly overweight, and he had some other problems. And we were talking, you know. And something happened about something about the dog ordinance. And this is 20 years ago. And something, it's just like a veil came over him. Yeah. I hadn't gotten you for that yet. I'm going to get you yet for that. I wanted to say, man, you carry a grudge that long? You are sick. But I didn't. I just said, Merle, we have to go by conscience. I love you. God bless you. And I left. And I said, God, I have done everything I can do to make it right. He's yours. And he's still bitter, and this bitterness is gradually. He's now had a stroke, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's angry at God. Good church member now, member of the ruling committee on the church. Angry at God now because he's had a stroke now. And his family has paid a terrible price for his bitterness because it affected his children. They are bitter, angry, rebellious people. They've got high blood pressure. They've got arthritis. They've got asthma. One of them is someplace else now. That's what bitterness will do to you. It will sit into you, and it's like a corrupting force. Anger and rage. Bitterness represents repressed anger and rage, which is produced by rebellion and stubbornness. It's the want to forgive. See, he would not forgive me, although I called him on the phone. I didn't tell you that. I did call him that day and said, I am terribly sorry. You are absolutely correct. It should be 3 years. Because he said, I'm sorry. I voted for 3 years. I'm sorry. You're right. And he said, well, it's good to see you can admit you were wrong. And then he slammed the phone down again. He would not forgive me. I asked him to forgive me, but he would not forgive. He didn't get mad. He got even. And so, but anger and rage have a pronounced effect on the autonomic nervous system and on the immune system. I talked to you or to the men, I can't remember now, about the effects of fear on the autonomic system. Fear produces what we call subacute autonomic reactions. Fear produces high blood pressure. It increases the amount of adrenaline that you circulate, the catecholamines that will circulate in your bloodstream. And it will give you high blood pressure. Fear will give you increased acid in your stomach and cause you to have gastroesophageal reflux, for which you take that stuff that cuts down acid. I can't remember the names of them anymore. What? Nexium, yep. $5 a pill or some such. $5 a pill or some such thing. And expensive medication. To reduce it, to stop the acid production. But you know, take antacids for it. It causes increased pleura spasm. That's a charley horse there in the end of your stomach. That, you know, you get like a charley horse in your leg and you rub it, try to get it out, but you can't get it out of your stomach. It just hurts. And then it causes, increased motility to the bowel. So you, get what we call a mucoid colitis. You'll have 8 to 10 loose bowel movements a day. And if it keeps on, you get what we call ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. All these things come from increased activity in the autonomics. Fear does that. Well, anger and rage do that too. You see, anger produces the same results as fear in raising your blood pressure, getting you ready to fight or flight. Also increases the contraction of the smooth muscles and gives you asthma and leads to emphysema. Y'all know what emphysema is? It's a horrible way to die. You smother to death. And it's aggravated by smoking. And unforgiveness brings on smoking, puts you in bondage, so you have to smoke, and it helps destroy your lungs. And so anger and rage produces that. Then it does something else, though. Anger and the bitterness alters your immune response. Now, fear alters the ability of your immune system to fight disease, lowers the T cells in your body, so you can't fight off infection, so you get recurrent strep throat, or you get pneumonia, or you get boils, or you get infections easy, or you catch cold easy, you get viruses. Fear does that to you. Anger, rage, and unforgiveness goes a step further, though. It makes you allergic, and you have allergic reactions to foreign protein. And you get stopped up in your nose. It's called hay fever and asthma. You get increased mucus in your chest. You don't only have bronchospastic disease. You have bronchospastic disease plus increased mucus. And if it continues, you develop something known as an autoimmune disease. And y'all ever heard of autoimmune diseases? You know what the most common one is? Arthritis. Arthritis, you know. Arthur. I'm getting a little arthritis in them joints. They hurt a little bit. And the more bitter you are, the faster it works. Angrier you are in refusal to forgive. You get arthritis. And then you get something known as fibromyalgia. That ain't a pretty sounding name, and doctor ain't got any bloomingest idea of what causes it. It is a collagen disease. And they got all kind of medicine which don't really help very much. Give you cortisone, and give you pain medicine, and give you various types of things to suppress your immune response, which makes you susceptible to infections and all kind of side effects, lupus erythematosus. And so infirmity spirits cause all kind of collagen diseases, lupus, fibromyalgia, scleroderma, arthritis, polyarthritis. Bitterness, I've said, is a rebellion, and rebellion the same. Now, when that rebellion gets down into the cell level and your cells start rebelling, they produce something known as cancer. You get a group of cells that start growing 10 times faster than they should. And they just grow real fast, and they just continue to grow, and they grow in, and they push other cells, normal cells, out of the way. And they're in rebellion and have a root in bitterness and rebellion. And it opens you up to certain demonic forces. The most common type of cancer in women is cancer of the cervix, cervical cancer. It is caused by the human papilloma virus, which is a wart virus. Human papilloma virus is a wart virus. There are 42 different types. Normally, you build antibodies against it, and the wart goes away. But if you've got a depressed immune system, it doesn't go away. There are 6 types. That form a very special type of cancer, a special type of wart that grows in the genital area, and they're called genital warts. And they cause cancer of the cervix. 99.9% of cervical cancer is caused by human papilloma virus, it's been shown. And the type of virus it's infecting depends on how fast it grows. Now, ordinarily, if you catch that, there's a 75% chance that your body will build antibodies against it and throw it off. There's a 25% chance that it's a gift that keeps on giving, that you don't ever get rid of it. Somebody gives it to you. It's transmitted only one way, and I won't go into the how it's transmitted. It's transmitted sexually. And I'll sally in with that statement.
The second most common type is cancer of the breast. And thank God that's out where you can feel it. And that is, passed down through the family line. All these things are passed down through the family line by familiar spirits. I mean, if your family tends to be rebellious and bitter, then you're going to be rebellious and bitter. And it will alter your immune system. Does all cancer come from that? I don't know. I just know this is a major cause. It causes intestinal diseases. You see, this bitter root opens you up to infirmity spirits. And it causes intestinal diseases. It causes increased acid with gastric reflux and ulcers and diverticulitis. It causes all kind of colitis, just like the fear does. Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, mucoid colitis, spastic colon. How many of y'all in here besides me had a spastic colon? Am I the only one ever had a spastic colon? Huh? Pain, you know, God knows. I inherited it. My mother had it. Her mother had it. My mother was part Cherokee Indian. Mother's motto was that the Indians never forgave, they got even. Don't laugh, that's sad. That is sad. Mother was a wonderful woman. My mother was a wonderful woman. I thank God for her. She prayed me home. I'm alive because she prayed for me. She put me through school by sheer force of will. I would have never been a physician if my mother had not had strong will to put me through school and believe God to provide the money for it. My father, we were a poor family, but there were two of us in medical school, and my sister was in the finishing school, an academic finishing school in Agnes Scott, Atlanta, all at one time, and my father was a very poor man. But Mother said God would provide, and He provided jobs. I mean, if there's a dollar to be made, them Noah boys are out scratching for it from daylight to dark. And He provided all kind of jobs, and people in the community were good to us. Looking back over it, they were very good to us. But she was trained, that was the way she was trained. And God, I thank God for her. She's gone to be with the Lord now, and I thank God for her. And I would never do anything to disgrace her memory, but she did, that was her motto, and she paid a bitter price for it. That was the way she was trained. She had skin, gives you boils, you know, recurrent boils. Didn't y'all ever have recurrent boils when you were a kid? Before the days of antibiotics, you know, we used to get these boils on us. And we'd do all sorts of things and put heat and this black ointment on them. And you'd have to soak them and then they'd have to lance them. And then Mother would have us take a tablespoon of fleshman's yeast every morning to build us up. So we went, oh, God. Ah! And you didn't argue with Mother. You said, yes, ma'am. And eczema. You know what eczema is? Eczema is lack of oil in the skin, dry skin. And it begins to break out, itch, burn. And you speak of it, and they call it the botch. It's called the botch in Deuteronomy. And it passes down through family lines. And the itch. I mean, all this ever itched, you know. That's a tormenting spirit from the devil. Next, you get headaches. Infirmity spirit will give you headaches. You got tension headaches, migraine headaches, and muscle pain, and sinus headaches. 90% of most headaches are tension headaches. Muscles in your head. You know when you're stubborn, these muscles back here, right back in the back of your neck, they tighten up, and they go into spasm, and you get Charlie horses in them. And you got a big muscle right here called right in the frontalis. It's from right here and goes back to about right here. And that thing, and it ran the temples, and in the back right here. And that thing goes into spasm, and you just get, it just hurts. And you get angry, that thing goes into spasm. And it's a demon that's settled in there. And it reacts. And then sometimes you have witchcraft gets inside your head. Remember, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft.
And bitterness and rebellion is the same thing. And so that witchcraft spirit gets in your head. Right behind your eye, right there. And it causes the blood vessels to go into spasm. And the blood vessels first will contract down. And you can't see too well. Some of you know, you see double, or you see spots, or things look blurry. And then that thing dilates up and it begins to pound. It sounds like some little men in there with a hammer. Bom, bom, bom. And the light hurts your eyes and you want to cry. And you go there and then you get nausea and you begin to vomit. That's called a migraine headache. And I'll tell you, they are fairly common. And they generally are set off as a trigger that'll set those things off. Maybe it's a bad memory. Maybe it's a soul tie to someone and that soul tie is touched. Maybe it's you see something. Or maybe you smell some perfume and it just reminds you. It touches that soul tie and that witchcraft spirit begins to manifest. That rebellion begins to manifest within your head and begins to hurt. It's demonic. It's based back on rebellion and bitterness. Then you get muscle spasm. Now you gotta understand the brain doesn't have any nerve endings in it. You know, once you open up the brain, you can cut on the brain and you don't feel it at all. It has no nerve, it has no pain receptors in it at all, the brain. But the blood vessels in the brain have got pain receptors. And that's where the pain comes from the blood vessel and the muscles overlying it. That's where your pain receptors are. And that's what hurts. And so tension, migraine, and muscle spasm, all interrelated, they're due to anger, rage, bitterness, unforgiveness, and fear. A demon called witchcraft, which is due to rebellion. I could talk all day about different manifestations of headaches. I just remember one lady that used her headaches as witchcraft to control her family. If nothing else prevailed, she couldn't get her way. She got a migraine headache, and she went to bed. And then that old household, Mama's got a headache. Don't make any noise. Don't move. You drop something, man. I mean, you man, Mama comes out like a tornado. And then she goes back to bed and puts that ice pack on her head. And everybody, oh. And she controlled everything in that house. So the one thing you didn't want Mama to do was to get a migraine headache. So you gave Mama her way. And she was unhappy. She just had a migraine headache. Not that she wanted a migraine headache, but the witchcraft demon wanted a migraine headache because he wanted to prevail. He wanted to run things. Mama wasn't doing it. Witchcraft demon was doing it. Mama wasn't even aware that she had the witchcraft demon in most cases. But you get Mama upset, her personality seemed to change a little bit. You really get her upset, I mean, you know, she looked like she became a different person when she got one of them headaches. She did. That's called the double-minded person. They're real sweet, but you get them upset, boy, and you got a tiger by the tail. Somewhere, we used to call it passive-aggressive. And see, what did he say last night? Personality disillusion disorder or something? I mean, you know, they don't know what to do with it. They give it another name. And the treatment is all the same. Tranquilizers. Some type of tranquilizer. They got lots of them. When I was starting medical school, we had bromides and phenobarbital. And then we came out something known as Equinil or Miltown, which chemical name was meprobamate. And then Thorazine. And then suddenly got Librium. And that went into all the Valium compounds. And that opened up a huge, and I don't even know the names of them anymore. There's so many of them. I didn't use them. I practiced pediatrics and I didn't use them. There were lots of other pills that we got pressed to give children who were disorderly in school. And I generally sent them to the neurologist. And he did that. I just couldn't do it. I sent them to the, quote, expert in that. And I let them handle it because if I got pressured to do it. Allergies. Well, you know, allergies, you can be allergic to anything. I mean, there are whole books written on manifestations of allergy, and it can mimic any disease. It can cause all kind of problems. I mean, folks get so allergic that they can't go out of the house. And I've seen folks have to build new houses because they were allergic to the glue in the walls, you know, and in the carpet and everything. And they had to do all sorts of things. I put them in a bubble to live. And you say, well, how could this little six-year-old child who has never been angry and bitter to anybody wind up with the immune system so messed up that he's got to live in a bubble until they can give him a bone marrow transplant or something? Because of sins of the fathers. That's the way it is. Like I read you yesterday in Hosea. I don't know, I read it to the men today. How their sins would pass to their daughters and their wives. Hosea chapter 11, verses 11, 12, and 13. If you're interested in that. If you follow, and if you look at Ezekiel chapter 16, around verse 44, you'll find an interesting verb that interesting says, the proverb, like mother, like daughter. That the bad habits the mother has will pass to the daughter. The sins of the mother will pass to the daughter. Fortunately, Jesus died for us and was made a curse for us so that this curse can be broken. That's where the saying, a chip off the old block, came. Our family's always been that way. We've always been angry, bitter people. They don't put it quite that way. We've always been stubborn. You know, we've always been stubborn, you know, and we've always gotten even. Causes bladder problems. Causes pain. Frequency, incontinence, ear problems, cause you have dizzy and vertigo, deafness and ringing in the ears, called tinnitus, called Meniere syndrome. You really get a real demon in there, you get what's called Meniere syndrome, which is a most horrible thing, because you can be riding down the road and all of a sudden you feel like that you have just gotten off the monster machine they got out there where they spin you around and you're so dizzy you can't stand up and things are whirling round and round. That's what it feels like when all of a sudden that hits you and you're driving, man, you got to try to get over and stop because you can't drive. You can't see, you can't do anything. And then you throw up and you just hold on. You're holding on because you feel like your car's going round and round and going to throw you out. Causes female problems, premenstrual tension, PMS. That's a demon. Women get all kind of hormones. You say your hormones are messed up. And they give them all kind of hormones, which have all kind of interesting side effects. Need to get the demon out. The thing that came in through bitterness and rage. And it causes infertility, endometriosis and infertility. Those are just some of the infirmity spirits that you can get from bitterness. Bitterness is unforgiveness. Causes unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness are linked together. It's repressed anger and rage because you won't forgive. Now, and if you won't forgive, you're still in your sin. Let's look at Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 6. This is at the end of what's called the Lord's Prayer. Verses 14 and 15. 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And we were having I was still in the Episcopal Church, and they were having a teaching at the a Bible study, and they invited this young lady who had just become a deacon, and she was teaching it, and she was teaching the 12-step, Christian 12-step program, and we got to forgiveness, and she was talking about the necessity of forgiving. And I made the comment, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And she said, oh no, that's not right. God is so loving, He forgives everything. I said, well, it said right here in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, I had a New Testament, mother. I pulled it out and I read it. She said, but you don't understand why Matthew's gospel was written and what that really means. I said, well, that's interesting. It says, same thing over here in Mark. chapter 11, verse 26, and then Luke chapter 6, and I read those, and she began to get flustered. Well, you just don't understand God's will of me. And finally, I said to her, and I called her by her first name. I said, you know, you can spiritualize this all you want to. But the rest of us in this room can read plain English, and we can understand it. And that's what the Scripture says, and that's what we believe. Now, I said, how many of you people believe the Scriptures, what the Scripture says? And they all held up their hand. I said, well, Sally, we all agree. I said, you agree that forgiveness is necessary. Let's move on, because we ain't going to argue with you about your funny doctrine. Woo! I tell you, it looks could have killed. And but three or four of the ladies came up and said, thank you very much for standing up for Scripture. Nobody else in there would open their mouth. But it says here, God won't forgive you if you don't forgive. And you can compare that to Mark 11, 25 and 26 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. What is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? Now, I've heard forgiveness defined so many ways. Webster's Second Collegian Dictionary, New World Collegian Dictionary, published in 1975, that I bought from Irma the first time I came down here, 1981. I bought that dictionary. And just a standard college dictionary. And it says, to forgive means to give up the right to revenge, to remit payment. And then it went on to say, to forgive a debt, to declare it not collectible. What it means is, you see, you give up the right to revenge. Now, revenge belongs to God. It says in Romans, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And he's quoting Exodus. If you want revenge for something, when somebody hurts you, if you want revenge, you're stealing from God. You're a thief. And you're under a curse. You're under the thief's curse, which is in Zechariah. Prophet Zechariah speaks of the thief's curse. You're a thief. Because that you're taking something that belongs to God. Forgiveness belongs to God too. Daniel 9:9 said, mercy and forgiveness belong to God. But to you, O God, belong mercy and forgiveness. So you want forgiveness, you want something God has. But God said He'll give it to you if you ask for it. So when you forgive something, you give up the right to revenge. You say, I don't want to see these people pay for what they did. I remit this debt. I don't want to see them pay for what they did. And so you go to God and you say, God, I forgive these people. I don't want to see them pay for what they did, Lord. I don't want you to punish them for their sin. I want you to bless them. I want you to bless them. I want you to bring them to salvation. I want you to do good to them. I don't want you to do bad. That's forgiveness. Now, if you want to forgive somebody, you start praying for them. That's what the book says. It says so in Matthew chapter 5. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Verse 43 and 44. But I say to you, it has been heard, it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. They'll be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His rain, His sun, to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For you, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, be ye perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What happens if you fail to forgive? Matthew 18, he's talking about the last half of Matthew 18 talks about the parable of the unforgiving servant. His servant was brought in to the master, and he owed him several billion dollars, 10,000 talents of gold, which is several billion dollars. He couldn't pay him. And so he said, you sell him, and all he's got, and his wife and his children, so I can get my money. And he asked for pity, mercy. He forgave all the debt. And then he went out and grabbed his fellow servant who owed him 50 denarii, that's 50 days' labor, Probably about $25,000 now. Not that much, $2,500, $5,000, I've forgotten. At $100 a day, 50 days labor would be $5,000. He grabbed him by the throat and said, pay up. He wouldn't pay, he couldn't pay up. He had him put in jail. And so what did the master say to him? Matthew 18 said, should you have not had compassion on your fellow servant, I had pity on you. Remember, we owed God a debt we couldn't pay. We had so much sin accumulated against us when we came into the kingdom of God, and He forgave us. He had compassion on us, and He forgave us. And so He says, can't you have compassion on your fellow servant like I had compassion on you? And therefore He was angry, wroth, and He delivered him to the torturers, or the tormentors, or the jailhouse. Depending on which translation you have, all of those are not very pleasant places to be. Until he should pay what was due. And so my Heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive your brother his trespasses. Staying in your sin removes you from God's protective covering. You see, when you're under God's protective covering, you're under his wing, under the corner of his robe. But when you stay in your sin, you move out of him. You're out there standing in the naked breeze, you see. And the devil is out there. And he's got a lot of unfriendly people out there. And he's got a right to torment you, kill you as slowly and painfully as possible. And so you're subject to the forces of darkness. Who are the forces of darkness? They're listed in Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the unseen army that you can't see, but it is real. And they have a right to torment you when you get out from under God's protection and in sin. And torment brings feelings of unfairness, revenge, retaliation, and anger. The natural possession of the spirit of anger is rage, murder, hate, violence. Rage, violence, hate, and murder. Remember, the Bible says Jesus went around doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Let's look at Acts 10:38. Here Peter is preaching the centurion, and he says, verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And I have been went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, but God was with him. Now you notice he didn't heal anybody as being taught a lesson. He healed folks that were being oppressed by the devil. And they were oppressed by the devil because they were in sin. Either their sin, the sin of their fathers. And bitterness is a sin. It's rebellion. Refusal to forgive. Refusal to get right. Now, spirit of unforgiveness is closely associated with your scorner spirit. You can't see your own error. Look at Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds the father's instruction, but a scoffer or a scorner does not listen to rebuke. Look at 15:12. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. You know, that's an interesting statement. I had a friend who was very proud. He was in my deliverance prayer group, Bible study, and God had miraculously worked in his life and delivered him from alcoholism and a number of other things, but he'd been rejected. He was angry over his rejection. He had a lot of problems. But I could never get him to let go of that pride. And he was a sucker. But he, one thing he wanted more than anything was to be rich. And he was a sucker for every tell of, these folks call on the telephone to sell you things. What do they call them? Telemarketer, that's it. And he was a sucker for, man, they would call him and they would sell him some blue sky thing, and he would take money out of his retirement plan or go off and get money off of a low interest credit card. He had credit cards out of his ears. And send it to these people, and they would get him some of the darndest scams I've ever seen. And I asked him, I said, well, Bill, before you make these statements, before you do this, come see me. Well, I talked, and he talked to Jimmy. That's not his real name. Everybody knew Jimmy had demons.
Jimmy was been hospitalized 2 or 3 times for demons. And he talked to John. John's wife was a Jezebel. And he was a yes man. And then he talked to another one, I've forgotten who. But they were all three people that you wouldn't ask for advice for anything. Would it come somebody that had good common sense? No. Said, man, that's blue sky. Well, he didn't want to hear that. And he's bitter because he's getting cheated all the time. But it wasn't his fault. Praise you, Lord God. And he blamed others. Well, look at 22:10. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Because he's always accusing somebody else for his problem. Poor wife, praise the Lord. And he jumped on his poor wife there in the foyer of the church. And I heard him scream, that scared me. And, you know, and they left. And I saw the next day, I approached him I said, well, I wouldn't scream at him. He said, I'm just an actor and I just project my voice. I said, man, you enrage. Lord. And so he goes over here and asks this real sweet lady, timid lady, did you think I was enraged? She said, oh, no, I think thing was fine. Not doing it from me. That's a scoffing spirit. Can't teach them anything because they're proud. And he was bitter and angry and unforgiving. It's somebody else's fault. It's his daddy's fault because he deserted the family. Mama's fault. Somebody else's fault. And the cycle just starts over again and just gets madder and madder and bitter and bitterer. Praise you, Lord Jesus. How do you get out of this mess? Now, nobody wants a spirit of bitterness. Nobody wants all these problems in their life. I've gone on a little further than I wanted to go. I wanted to be through by now, but I still got to talk about bitterness comes with rebellion. I just want you to know, you got rebellion in your life. You can't submit to your pastor. You can't submit to your wife. You can't submit to your husband. Yeah. You know husband's supposed to submit to wives? It says in there, submitting one to another. And I tell you, your wife is either one or the other. In love. Submitting to your, to one another, to one to the other in love. Now your wife is either one or the other. Marriage is a partnership. The husband is uniquely designed by God to stand out and take all the buffeting from the devil. Because his wife is much more spiritually perceptive. But the husband, he's going to be like the Mack truck. His wife like the Toyota pickup when it comes to getting buffeted. That's the way Win Worley used to. And the husband's supposed to stand out in front. Be the head. And get hit. Take the trauma for his wife. Protect her. Because he's tougher. And things don't bother him as bad. You know, men get over things. Women, you know, it takes time for a woman to get over things. You get involved in a women's fight, man, you're in trouble. You know, I had 10 women working for me. And I learned quick, you know, I hired me a female supervisor. I had a real good female supervisor, and she handled all them fights between them women. I didn't get out there and get involved. I loved all of them. How you let the love of God flow out, and I prayed for all of them. I said, honey, you come, you tell me what you want to do. I just took the buffeting for them. I went to court for them. I took the buffeting for them. If anybody wanted to attack them, they had to attack me first. God bless you, you're going to attack one of my nurses. You're going to attack me first. But that was my job. But when I wanted to make the rules, and I wanted to set the programs, and I went and talked to my nurses. I talked to my supervisor and I talked to my people and I said, this is what I want to do. Look at it and give me feedback. And lots of times I changed the way I think because I felt like they were my family. I felt like all those girls were my daughters. They were my family. God gave me wonderful Christian women. Thank you for them, Lord. We had some ungodly programs. I had one or two that we had points of difference. And I just had to love them and pray for them. I won't go into that.
But I'll tell you one thing, nobody got to attack them personally. They had to come through me. And that's the way a husband's supposed to be with his wife. But it's supposed to be a partnership, submitting one to another within the marriage. That's what being the head means. Being the head means you get to take all the, you get to hit over the head. You take the brunt of the attack, and you protect your wife. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, she's wrong. You have to tell her she's wrong. You make a decision, but there's an appeal process. It says so in the Bible. And you make the appeal by the Bible. Chronicles 7:19-20 says, "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, rebellion, which I've set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot you out of my land I've given you, and this house I've sanctified by my name I will cast out of my sight, make you a proverb and a byword among the nations." He's going to if you are rebellious and idolatrous, he will uproot you. In other words, when you do that, you move out from under his wing. And they got humbled because they got attacked. They got attacked by the Philistines and the Syrians and the Assyrians, the Egyptians and Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonians. But God forgave their sin and healed their land. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. These things were written for our admiration, on whom the end of the ages have come." All these things were written down as examples for us. That's very clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Paul says, "Now these things that happened to them as examples, they were written for our admiration on whom the end of the ages has come." Romans 15:4 says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So how do you heal the bitter pool? Remember that. It is an ever-ending cycle of rebellion, bitterness, scorning, rejection, fear returning to pride. Because when you become a scorner, rebellious, won't hear anything, bitter, people don't want to do anything to do with you. They just sort of withdraw away from you, you know. Unless they're bitter and rebellious and rejection, they sort of gravitate to you. You know, birds of a feather flock together. And bad company... Paul says bad company corrupts good manners, 1 Corinthians. And so it's a never-ending cycle. 1 Peter 2:19 says, "By whom a man is overcome, the same he is brought into bondage." So if you're overcome with bitterness, it's going to bring you into bondage or slavery. And this slavery creates what's known as the bitter pool. You get a pool, you just get bitter. And the more... it cycles, the bigger the pool gets. Now, what happened when the people came? How do you heal the bitter pool? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, that it's a defiling root and will grow down and defile you. Heal it. All these bad memories need to be healed, and you just forgive them. If these bad memories come up, you pray for those people. And say, "God, I don't want to see them punished. I want them forgiven. I want those people to be blessed." And so you start praying for your enemies. And I find somebody's got a bad, bitter pool. I tell them to sit down and write down all the bad memories they can think of. Everything they can think of, things that's happened, things they should have done, things that people did to them. Write them down. Ask God to show you. What's feeding this pool of bitterness? And you get that list, and then you start going through it and praying for it every day. You start praying for those people, and when they don't bother you anymore, you just keep praying that God will bless those people, will give them and bless them, and set you free from that burden. And it'll touch you, it'll heal you. You remember in Exodus, when the people came, traveled 3 days, and there was no water, and they came to a pool of water. But the
They couldn't drink it because the water was bitter, and they called the spring Marah. And they couldn't drink it, and so God showed Moses a tree. And he picked up the tree and threw it in the pool, and the water became sweet. Tree represents the cross of Jesus Christ. It represents the cross of crucifying the flesh, your pride, and praying for the people that's hurt you. Giving up the right to see them pay for what they did to you. And you start praying for the people. When he was at Jericho, when Elisha was at Jericho, the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. And so he took the salt, the new salt in a vessel that had never been used, and he threw it in. Jesus Christ is the salt. And the water became sweet. It's Jesus that heals the bitter pool. And you put Jesus in it. You crucify your flesh and put Jesus Christ in there. And just begin to pray. Pray for your enemies on a continuing basis. It says so in Matthew 5, 43 to 45. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you or persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, who makes his rain to rise, his sun to rise on the evil or the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what have you done? Don't the sinners, the republicans, do the same? If you do good to those who do good to you, what have you done? Do not the publicans do the same? They do good to those who do good to them. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. For the last two verses, I've paraphrased them slightly. God says, be different. You're a peculiar people. And then he makes a promise in Exodus where he throws the thing in. He says, I am the Lord God. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healed thee. When you get rid of your bitterness, God says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. And I will put none of those diseases that I put on the Egyptians on you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Now stand up. Let's praise God. Let's just praise Him and get your blood moving a little bit, so we can break the root of, break this bitter root in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Oh God, we praise you and we bless you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask for an outpouring of your Spirit now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin. Was raised for my justification. Ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am a child of the living God. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I confess the sins of my fathers. The sins of incest. Illegitimacy. Whoredom. Rebellion. Idolatry. Bitterness. Returning evil for good. In the name of Jesus, I break all these curses. I break the curse of the lie and the thief. In the name of Jesus. On me and my children forever. Back 20 generations. I thank you, Lord God, for setting me free. Lord, I hold up my rebellion to you, Lord. I confess, Lord, there are times that I've been in rebellion.
I've leaned on my own flesh. And I've wandered from you. And I've been bitter and angry. Help me, Lord God, to forgive. To get out of the bitter pool. Lord, heal this bitter pool in me. Touch this bitter pool, Lord. Put Jesus in it, Lord. Set me free, Lord God, from bitterness, anger and rage, witchcraft, rebellion, stubbornness, scorning, in the name of Jesus. I bind all these things in the name of Jesus. I break thou loose them from their assignment, O me. I break their hold on me. I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. I bind them and cast them out. In Jesus' name. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Just leave them now. Come on out now. Come on out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All bitterness. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out. All bitterness. All bitterness. Come out in the name of Jesus. Say, I forgive everyone ever hurt me, use me or abuse me. I ask you to bless them, Lord. And take this bitterness from me. In the name of Jesus. Now you leave them now, bitterness. Leave. Come out of that bitterness. All bitterness. I just break its power. Come out. All bitterness, rebellion, and stubbornness, and deception in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I break its power in the name of Jesus. I command it to go. All rejection. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you. All rejection and whoredom and bitterness. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All of you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Leave them now. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go. All of you, go now in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Y'all can sit down now. I speak to all the infirmity spirits that have come in through the root of bitterness. I bind them in Jesus' name. I command them to go now in the name of Jesus Christ. I just break their power. I break the power of all the infirmity spirits. I speak to lupus erythematosus in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to lupus erythematosus. I speak to fibromyalgia and scleroderma. I speak to arthritis. Arthritis. Turn God's people loose now. I bind you in Jesus' name. You got no right to them. Arthritis, I speak to you. Fibro-polyarthritis. In the name of Jesus. Polynodosa. Perinodosa. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to come out now. Leave God's people now. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to leave. You can't stay in God's people. In the name of Jesus, come out of them. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all of you. Come out of there. I speak to cancer. I speak to cancer now. Cancer of the cervix. Cancer of the bladder, cancer of the colon, cancer of the pancreas, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the heart, of the lung, cancer of the brain, cancer of the skin, cancer of the thyroid. I speak to all cancer, and I break your power, cancer, in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, cancer, and I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people. Put both feet on the floor, please, sir. Thank you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. I speak to all intestinal disease now in the name of Jesus. I speak to all dry mouths in the name of Jesus. Come out. I speak to all gingivitis in the name of Jesus. All, come out. Come out. All periodontal disease in the name of Jesus. I bind it and I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. All gingivitis. Come out in the name of Jesus. All Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come out. All pyorrhea, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All carious teeth, come out. All root canals, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All abscesses, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. All swelling around the nerves in the name of Jesus from allergy, come out in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch these people. Lord, I just ask you to touch them now. Touch the carious teeth, Lord, and put crowns on their teeth, Lord God. Lord, those teeth that are carious, Lord, I ask you to heal them and put crowns on them so they'll know you've been there, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to their teeth now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. I speak healing to their teeth in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to their tongue in the name of Jesus. I speak to sore tongues in the name of Jesus. I speak to big tongues, sore tongues, burning tongues in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out. I speak to dry mouths. I speak to dysphagia, trouble swallowing. I speak to aciditis in the name of Jesus. Esophagitis in the name of Jesus. Gastritis in the name of Jesus. Duodenal ulcers in the name of Jesus. I speak to cancer of the colon in the name of Jesus. I speak to Crohn's disease, colitis, Crohn's disease. Come out. Ulcerative colitis, I bind you all in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to sprue in the name of Jesus. I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. I speak to for gluten allergies in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus. Come out. Intestinal disease. I speak to diabetes. I bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. I bind the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. I bind the God of the belly in the name of Jesus. And I break its power and I say, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, God of the belly, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out! Come out! I speak to bulimia in the name of Jesus. I speak to anorexia in the name of Jesus. I speak to gluttony in the name of Jesus. Gluttony caused by stubbornness. He is stubborn. He is stubborn and rebellious. He's a drunkard and a glutton. I bind gluttony in the name of Jesus Christ. I break this power of gluttony in the name of Jesus. Come out! Come out, gluttony! Come out! In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power. I break bondage to gluttony in the name of Jesus. And I break its power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind it and I break its power in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. I speak to headaches now. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, come out, headaches. Migraine headaches. Tension headaches. Muscle headaches. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to allergies. I bind allergies. I bind hay fever. I bind food allergies. I bind hay fever allergies. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Come against asthma. In the name of Jesus. Emphysema, asthma, bronchospastic reactive airway disease. In the name of Jesus, come out of God's people. Come out. I speak to heart attacks. In the name of Jesus, I speak to myocarditis. In the name of Jesus, fear in the heart brings heart failure. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power. In the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Go! Go in Jesus' name. I speak to bladder problems now in the name of Jesus. I speak to small bladder in the name of Jesus. I speak to irritable bladders in the name of Jesus. I bind dysuria. I bind urinary frequency. I bind incontinence in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I bind fallen bladders in the name of Jesus. I say, be elevated in the name of Jesus. Get right with the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind prolapsed bladders, prolapsed rectums in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind hemorrhoids in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them and I tell them to come out. The curse of hemorrhoids, I break it in the name of Jesus. Come out, hemorrhoids. All varicose veins of the legs, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. All varicose veins, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind ear problems, dizziness, vertigo, tinnitus, deafness in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of deafness, a deaf and dumb demon. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. Command you to go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Go. I bind thyroid problems in the name of Jesus and command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind skin problems. I bind the botch in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, botch, in the name of Jesus. Itching skin, come out. I bind boils, infantigo, come out. I bind scarring skin. Lord, I ask you to touch these people now. Lord, I ask you to touch every lady in here, Lord, and take away the stretch marks. I bind the stretch marks now in the name of you. Lord, I ask you to touch this skin, Lord, and take all the warts off and all the growths off. I bind the warts. I bind the papillomas in the name of Jesus. I break them. All these papillomas that are growing on people's skin, Lord, I bind them and I curse them to their roots. I curse these stretch marks in the name of Jesus. I speak elasticity to the skin, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I crack the skin in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Touch them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Restore to them what the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palmer worm have stolen from them in the name of Jesus, Lord. I bind age marks. I bind age marks, age spots in the name of Jesus. I bind melanomas and skin cancers and say, go in the name of Jesus. I bind endometriosis in the name of Jesus and PMS. I command it to go. I bind that demon. I command him to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be gone now. Be gone. Be gone. I bind high blood pressure now. High blood pressure. Kidney disease. I bind kidney disease now. I bind nephritis, Lord. Lord, touch the kidneys, Lord God. I bind high blood pressure, Lord God. Touch the kidneys, Lord. I bind anemias, various anemias, Lord. I bind leukemia in the name of Jesus. I break their power and I speak healing. Pour out your spirit, Lord God. Touch your people. Let your spirit flow in now, Lord God, and drive out all these things. Drive them out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Drive them out. I bind all kind of... I bind vaginitis and cystitis, Lord God. All kind of infections, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I bind urethritis, Lord God, and colitis. I bind infections now. Sinusitis, Lord. Carious teeth. All the infections, Lord God. I break their power and I command them to go. Go, infections. I bind yeast infections in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind yeast infections in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind fungus infections in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. All ringworm, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak healing to God's people. Oh God, pour your spirit out, Lord God. You said, I am the Lord God. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. Oh God, we stand on your word, Lord. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. Heal your people, Lord God. Let your healing come down, Lord God. Oh, let your healing fall, Lord. Touch your people, Lord. I bind all the arthritis in the joints now. I bind joint damage, Lord God. I bind the damaged joint. I speak healing to damaged joints, to damaged knees, to damaged fingers, to damaged hips, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing, Lord. Let your healing grace flow through them, Lord God. Restore to them, Lord. Oh, God. Pour out your spirit, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Everybody stand up now and praise Him. Oh, God. Fill all the places now, Lord. Fill all the places, Lord God. Fill all the places, Lord God. We praise you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.